Jimmy Kimmel says what the Biden team is doing right now is like when you open the hood of a car you've had in storage, like your dad's 67 Shelby GT, and you find out rats got inside and ate all the insulation from the wires and chewed up the upholstery. Trevor Noah said, yo, guys, Joe Biden is so lucky. All he has to do is have a vaccine plan and not lie for 10 minutes. And he's basically the next George Washington. Trevor again. All we know is thanks to Donald Trump for setting the bar so low. It's like getting hired as a babysitter and your predecessor was a Roomba covered in knives. You're going to be better. And Trevor again, let's just say the White House bathrooms aren't the only place Biden is looking to wipe out any trace of Donald Trump. Stephen Colbert congratulated Kamala Harris on not only being the first female, first black, and first South Asian American VP, but also the first vice president in 4 years who doesn't think yogurt is too spicy. Hopefully Dave Chappelle is feeling well before his COVID diagnosis. He photobombed a couple's wedding pictures. This from NBC. NBC tells us first look pictures have become a wedding day tradition, allowing couples to capture their partner's excitement when they first see each other all dressed up for the ceremony. For one Texas couple, the first look took a different turn when comedian Dave Chappelle photobombed their pictures as they were having their special moment. I posted this on all my socials, so that's on Twitter at DCNPod, Facebook.com/Daily Comedy News, and on BuyMeACoffee.com/Daily Comedy News. If you want to see the photo, it will definitely make you smile. Hit pause on the podcast, go do that and come back. It's just so funny. Dave's got that great smile. It looks so funny. NBC says the groom showed his emotion right away, and when they hugged, people inside the restaurant cheered loudly. The wedding photographer said, I thought this was a reaction to the very sweet moment that Matt and Eleanor were sharing, but seconds later, Dave Chappelle popped out from inside the restaurant. Chappelle surprised the couple and then posed for pictures as a way to add to their special day. Chappelle wished the newlyweds luck in their marriage and posed for a socially distant picture that helped them laugh as they were having an emotional moment. The couple said, we thanked him and his friends inside the restaurant. It all happened so fast, but we could not stop talking about it throughout the day. We were just at the right place at the right time. From allhiphop.com, your home for hip-hop news and comedy news, apparently, Russell Peters is producing a documentary about the D&D, which is, I'm learning here for the first time myself, this is not in my wheelhouse, considered the mecca of studios for some of your favorite rappers. So many rappers took the trek to the tiny recording oasis in Manhattan to get the dingiest, grimiest, but most beloved tracks ever. A co-founder of the studio says Russell Peters really stepped in and pushed him to get the documentary done, adding that Russell is a true lover of the culture and said that Russell Peters is a generous person that has looked out for others on the low. If you want to check out a podcast I like a lot, it is called Off Book. And Vulture tells us that after 10 months of impressive adaptation to, you know, remotely record musical improv, Off Book is settling into a new normal. Lounge January, the cozy casual appetizer ahead of the podcast's official independent launch in February. The episode is a perfect opportunity for new listeners, that's you, and particularly satisfying for longtime fans, that's me and my daughter that turned me on to this one. With renewed energy and a fresh sense of autonomy, the hosts peel back the curtain. Did you ever wonder why the song ads disappeared? And reveal that, yeah, they know what the bangers are. Between unveiling the new model of the show, it's the same, except for the ways in which it's different. It's very much the same, and teasing a month-to-month ongoing musical. The pair mix in some bangers and turds, but mostly bangers, similar to their early lockdown undercovers. It's called Off Book, the improvised musical. It's an improvised musical, if you couldn't figure that out from the title. From the Daily Mail, Lucy Arnaz, she's the daughter of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. She has defended the casting choice of Nicole Kidman to play Lucille Ball. Lucy Arnaz posted a Facebook video urging fans to stop arguing about who should play it. Deborah Messing had been plugging herself for the role on Twitter, and I think Lucy Arnaz is talking about Deborah Messing here, saying she doesn't look like her, her nose isn't the same, she isn't as funny. Wow. Lucy Arnaz said, you know, it's a done deal, but the contracts aren't actually signed, which is why I hadn't said anything about it, but I felt I should just try to calm the waters here. Seems to be a lot of discussion about Nicole Kidman. It should be Deborah Messing, it should be Carol Cook, I don't know. Lucy Arnaz said, here's the deal. What you should understand, we're not doing a remake of I Love Lucy. No one has to impersonate Lucy Ricardo or do the chocolate factory routine or any of the silly things. It's the story of Lucille Ball, my actual mother, not Lucy Ricardo, and her husband, Desi Arnaz, my dad, not Ricky Ricardo. There will be humor in the film, but it's a story about the two of them, how they met, and what went right with finding the show, and what went wrong in their relationship and their love affair, Lucy Arnaz said. Now, of course, it's going to have I Love Lucy in it. As a matter of fact, Aaron Sorkin has set it on the stage of a filming 1 week of rehearsing and filming the show, but all this other stuff takes place during that time. Very little of the show is actually I Love Lucy type stuff. That sounds really good, doesn't it? Now, you know what's a terrible idea? This next idea from Seth MacFarlane. He wants to remake The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson in it. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that. All right, let's pick away at Vulture's recap of the Trump comedy years. This one's about Anthony Tamnuik. Now, remember, he started as a local show, Trump vs. Bernie, which was great. That is a great comedy album, by the way. And then that showed up on Comedy Central, but he's had enough of it. Tamnuik says, for me, I don't see Trump as good for comedy because Trump is bad for the world and for the country. But I think it was a necessary thing, obviously, for people to do versions of interpreting this nightmare, a nightmare which, by the way, has been manifesting over 40 years. It's not like Trump just happened and everything got bad. In that, it's a double-edged sword. Trump's manifestation put on display how deeply effed up we are and how disturbed our white supremacist, chauvinistic nation is. It's revealed all these things about us that played out in comedy. It's also revealed some people for who they are in terms of their ability to make fun of Trump, because most comedy around Trump was either very surface, like fat shaming or he's orange, or it was anger where the humor disappeared. It inspired a lot of misfires. Tamnuik says, sometimes doing Trump would get tiring, but mostly because of the fat suit and the voice, which is a burden to do just on your throat. Even when I started doing it, I was like, I only want to do this stuff until hopefully he loses. And then he won. That's partly because I always saw Trump as such a bargain basement impression to begin with. Everybody does a Trump. It's like doing Shatner and Elvis. It's not some great accomplishment to do it. Everybody has a Trump. So my thing was like, it's my take. My thing was sort of threefold. I don't want to get stuck doing him for the rest of my life. That's awful. Two, that's not a psychological burden to do him, because in a way I'm actually processing elements of myself, and I feel it's good to let them have their time, but then I've worked through them, so it's easier to not do them now. And the third one is that it runs out of steam. I like the character. I like my Trump, which I don't think is Donald Trump. It's so funny when people go, oh, it's so accurate, because I'm like, it's not about accuracy to me. It's about an impression. It was about my artistic interpretation of this pig, and how do I take fascism and white supremacy in America, and how do I present them, and how do I present the hypocrisy of the media and the Democratic Party? How do I present all the lies that we tell to keep ourselves insulated about the greater crisis in this country? That was what I saw. Once he became not a useful tool anymore, I didn't want to perform him and do a TV show around him. Would I do his voice like on a podcast from time to time? Sure, I don't care. I will do that character if it suits something valuable, but I think everybody will get tired of him. In my opinion, he had the best Trump. If you want to check out his Trump, go look up the album Trump vs. Bernie. It is a debate between Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. It is a hilarious, hilarious album. You should definitely check that out. Let me plug some stuff. I do a show every week on the Live by Live app. It is called The Weekly Comedy Thing. It's kind of like this, except I play bits from comedians in between the little news stories. So you get a lot less me and a lot more stand-up. Weekly Comedy Thing on Live by Live, Live X Live, if you want to look in your app store. It is free. You can listen to it. I put out a new episode every Sunday morning. Check that out. I thought Sunday's episode of this podcast was particularly fun. Deep dive on Matt Berry. You should check that out if you missed it. And I think I want to add Matt Berry to what I call the Mac Pack. This goes back to my days at Sirius. The Mac Pack is a group of celebrities who I have man crushes on. The Mac Pack includes Michael Chiklis, who I've met in real life. He's awesome. Tom Cavanaugh, who I've met in real life. He's awesome. I think I want to add Matt Berry. And I think I want to add the Mac Pack to the potato chip murder. Longtime listeners know this is the Adam Sandler movie I want to get made. In the potato chip murder, Adam Sandler would play a construction worker who seems like a goofy guy, but when one of his coworkers is killed by a falling bag of potato chips that may have had something heavy in it, did Adam Sandler commit murder on purpose because his jerky coworkers were bullies to him? So I'm thinking, Michael Chiklis, you could totally see him as, you know, construction worker, somebody like that works. Tom Cavanaugh, I don't know how we're going to work him into this. Matt Berry, I don't know, maybe he owns the construction company. You can do some comic relief with his over the top British thing. The potato chip murder. And don't forget, Sarah Cooper stars as the district attorney. That is your daily comedy news for today. You can support the show. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. And you click on the button, I'll buy a nice coffee. Look, got one right here. If you listen every day, this might be the same iced coffee from the end of Sunday's show. Maybe I recorded two episodes back to back. You never know. This could be a fresh one. If you buy me a coffee, I'll buy a new one. Follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Overcast. See you tomorrow.